just going to the audition and seeing what happened. So that's what we did, and we showed up to the audition in Chicago, and I played for the teacher, and she assigned me to work for her assistant. And yeah, I've been working with her assistant for a few years, and I also study with her now. And the whole process of doing that really made my technique a lot more solid, I would say.
Clearly. You mentioned that long trek to Chicago. I know that it wasn't as simple as just getting in the car and go. Like, you ended up having to take a bus, right?
That's true, yeah. I did have to take a bus just because my family at the time could not drive me there. So,
well, just another example of how motivated you've been throughout your musical development.
Oh, thank you.
Quinn, I know you and your brother love playing basketball together, and you've spoken about a connection between basketball and violin. Talk to me about that.
When we played together, I would just throw the ball like with the worst form. Like, I would just shove it in a way, and I would make it in.
Just hurl it over.
Yeah, and I would make it in, and I'd be like, see, you don't even need a perfect arc to make the ball in. And then he was like, oh my gosh. So, but then, like, little by little, like, when I saw his passion with basketball and the art of it and like practicing each shot the same way to like ensure that it's like consistent, it kind of motivated me to continue like being so consistent and working detailed with violin and stuff like that. So yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's like you have to enjoy the process of something and you have to really savor the time spent practicing and going through the motions so that at the end, you know, it's going to be there for you on stage.
Yeah.
Quinn, it was so great to meet you. So great to have you on the show today. You're such a strong person, such a strong violinist too. The future is bright for you, Quinn.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was 18-year-old violinist Quinn Ung from Madison, Wisconsin. We learn so much from the young musicians who come on our program, and hopefully they're learning from us too. You know, for many of them, From the Top is their first experience in a pro recording environment. Like with Quinn, as she was recording her Paganini, I let her in on an industry secret, which is that all of her favorite recordings of that piece have been edited. And of course, there are multiple takes that go into what you ultimately hear on the radio or on a CD. And Quinn was shocked to learn that these musicians who she looked up to so much weren't necessarily laying down one perfect take. And frankly, I was happy to be able to help change the narrative and let her know that greatness really has nothing to do with perfection. We've been hearing about the moment a teenager begins to see themselves as a serious artist. And 15-year-old Harry Joe, who we'll meet next, uses social media to put himself out there. I met this versatile young saxophonist at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music.
Thank you.
That was 15-year-old Harry Joe performing Naima by John Coltrane. I'm pianist Peter Dugan. I had the great fun of joining you on that tune, Harry. Gosh, you play so well. And of course, your improvisation chops are just stunning.
Thank you.
Harry, I was so excited when I found out that you were coming on the show because for me, as you know, I play classical and jazz piano. And sometimes I wish that we didn't even have to make a distinction. But for the sake of our conversation, let's use those terms. You're a jazz saxophone player and a classical player. And I'm curious about that journey for you. Talk me through how you ended up as this incredibly dual-talented musician.
Yeah, I started playing saxophone when I was 12. But before that, I also was playing piano and violin.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting into classical saxophone wasn't that hard compared to getting to jazz.
Mm.
And it took me a lot of listening every day to different types of jazz music, like Latin, blues, bebop.
Yeah.
And I just had to let it all sink in.
Yes. And clearly you've done that and you've done your homework.
Yeah. when I play jazz saxophone, it's really free. So I don't really have to think about memorizing all of the specific notes and playing as it is on the page. And on classical saxophone, I have to memorize each musical phrase and idea that's on the page.
Right. And the mouthpieces are even different too, right? Yeah.
Most jazz mouthpieces are really open inside. There's a large chamber compared to classical mouthpieces where the tip opening is also smaller. So you don't get like a lot of pitch differences on classical setups.
It keeps the pitch a little more streamlined. Yeah. And you can bend notes a little more with the jazz. Is that kind of what you're getting at? Oh, that's cool. That makes a lot of sense. Well, I'd love to hear a little demonstration of, because we heard your incredible jazz setup. I'd love to hear a little demonstration of your classical setup. Can we play a little something classical together?
Yeah.
Okay, what are we going to do?
We're going to play The Swan by Camille Saint-Saëns.
Beautiful. Let's do it. One of the things I love about your work is you've put so much great music out on social media. What do you find most rewarding about doing that? Or what do you love about it?
I think just when people comment on my posts and like them, and like the interaction on the internet, it just, I love that.
Yeah, I feel like, especially us jazz players, we're always tough on ourselves, right? We're our toughest critics. So to hear some positive reinforcement can mean a lot.
Yeah.
Before we go, I'm curious, if you could, you're 15 now, but if you could speak to your younger self, you know, like maybe right at the age that you were first learning the saxophone, any advice you would offer that younger version of you?
I think just taking more time to practice and listening to great players would have helped me a lot back then.
Well, the nice thing is you still got so many years ahead of you, so you're going to keep absorbing all of that wonderful music. And man, you're doing plenty of practicing. Make sure you're also having some fun too. Harry, such a pleasure to hang out with you and play some music together.
Thank you. It was nice meeting you.
Likewise. 15-year-old saxophonist Harry Joe from Pleasanton, California. I loved getting to know Harry because he and I are both musicians who enjoy traveling between genres. But our next young performer dreams of traveling into space. Are you ready? Join us. We're going to climb into a rocket ship in this next and final segment, and you're going to want to stick around to see what happens when two pianists go into space. Hey, welcome to From the Top, Alex.
Hi, Peter.
What piece are you going to perform for us today?
I will be playing Un Barque sur l'Océan by Maurice Ravel.
Beautiful. Well, whenever you're ready, you can take it from the top.
Thank you.
That was 17-year-old pianist Alex Chen performing Ravel's Une Barque sur l'Océan from Miroir. Alex is from Chesterfield, Missouri. Alex, what a beautiful performance. You brought so much color to that.
Thank you so much.
Now, I know, Alex, that you are really into rocket science. I mean, like, seriously obsessed with rocket science. Is that right?
That's a fair assessment, yes.
Okay, so we are going to do this interview a little differently. Is that cool?
Sure.
All right, let's do our interview in outer space with a brand new segment we are calling Pianists in Space. Man, I'm so excited to be in space with you. I don't know about you, my spacesuit is feeling pretty cozy. How's yours?
Yes, very warm in here.
Alex, we're getting a call from NASA. You actually should take this call because you have a relationship with NASA, right? Tell me about TechRise.
Yes, so the NASA TechRise competition is a competition that is sponsored by NASA, where student teams from across the country can submit experiment proposals to their competition, and they are graded on a scale of design creativity and its impact on society. And our team was one of the few selected to actually receive NASA funding and a flight aboard a NASA-sponsored rocket to go to space and collect data and do the experiment.
So just so that all of our listeners understand, the experiment that you worked on in your high school is actually going to go into space.
Correct.
That is so cool, Alex. I got to say, I'm really enjoying my first trip to space right now. This is all pretty new to me. But Alex, it's obvious that you love the STEM subjects. And I understand that you think of yourself as having this systems engineer mindset. And you've compared it to almost being like a conductor of an orchestra, right? How does that connection work for you?
Basically, what the systems engineering mindset involves is you take a really, really big problem and you split it into a lot of tiny little parts. A conductor doesn't necessarily need to know how to play every instrument in the orchestra, but they need to know how to make the music sing and speak for itself.
Yeah, and apparently you're able to do that within the field of tech, which is huge, and I know you have a bright future in that way.
Yeah, so I'm really, really passionate about the STEM fields. And obviously, I'm very passionate about music. So when I go off into college, it's a very tough choice between the music and the STEM fields. Like, music's been a very, very large part of my life.
Yeah.
The Ravel, it might be my last serious performance for the time being.
Even if you make that choice to focus in school on STEM, the piano is always there and the music is always there with you.
Yeah. I guess in the beginning, I sort of saw the piano as like, not necessarily like an adversary of sorts, but like I saw it as something to conquer.
Yeah.
And now I really see it as like a companion I can take with me.
I love that. I love that. Good for you, Alex. But with that, I do think we need to turn back and head home to Earth. Thank you for joining me for Pianists in Space. Oh, Alex, what a fun journey. Loved getting to know more about your fascination with rocket science, and also loved your Ravel. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Alex Chen, 17 years old, from Chesterfield, Missouri. Well, I guess you could say that interview was a blast. Alex and I are safe and sound back on Earth now, but boy, he blew me away. That concludes our program for today, folks. I want to thank each and every one of our young performers for sharing not only their music with us, but also their humanity. And to you, listening at home or in the car, or while sipping some chai and gazing out the window at a UPS truck, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I'm your host, pianist Peter Dugan. Please join me next week, and we'll take it from the top. Thank you to all the recording studios who helped us make this show. A big shout out to Matt MacArthur at the record company in Boston, Massachusetts, and to Bonnie Barrett and Makia Matsumura at Yamaha for supplying the piano there. Thank you to Eric Lillevoix at London Bridge Studio in Shoreline, Washington, and to Buzz Kemper at Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks to Daniel Merman at Midtown Soundhouse in St. Louis, Missouri, and to our friends and partners at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. From the Top is produced by Megan Swan and Jessica Tickton. Sound design and music editing by John Escobar, with editing and mastering by Rodrigo Cuenca. Our production manager is Amanda Roth. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency connecting young people with the arts in schools and in their communities. Learn more at massculturalcouncil.org. From the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, supporting books, radio, podcasts, film, television, theater, and more to bridge science and the humanities. And from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, at WTGrantFDN.org.
Programming is made possible by the Renaissance Foundation, committed to a unique scholarship program for high-achieving, first-in-family college students with financial need. The Renaissance Scholars Program provides renewable financial support for up to 1,000 students each year. To learn more, you can visit trfwebsite.org.